time holding Amud Yudalit. We're in the middle of the Nomer, which is Yavan, and he spoke about the Inyan of Chochmah, and we explained about that Chochmah specifically is Eluma said with Kol Yisrael and so on. At the bottom, so he explained that of the three Inyanim of Nefesh, Guf, and Seichel, and then Torah, the one that's most opposite to Klal Yisrael in a certain sense is Seichel, because it's the closest. You can't have opposites that are very different, that are not shayach, they don't have a common denominator. Torah and Seichel are of the common genre, and b'meila it's shayach, they should be opposing each other. Well, the Fikach, he says, another trait showing that it's of one cut. That they were going on Klal Yisrael to translate Torah into Yevonis, which is the Septuagint, which Gemara Megillah has the whole Ma'isa with Talmei HaMelech. Even though Yovan doesn't have a real chelak in Torah, k'moy shamaynu, u'mikomokim biksu lichtolay matoyah b'loshon shalahem. I want to explain this a second. In order to translate something into something else, you need to have a certain commonality of terms, expressions, and so on. A person tries to translate something from one language to another language, if the languages are completely different, completely different mentality, completely different look at thing perspective, it's very hard to translate. It was one of the reasons we once explained why Aramaic is a choice of Targum, because it's so close to Lashon Kodesh. A person meets, let's say, a Chassidish Yid meets a Litvish Yid, and they're trying to trade certain experiences, so more or less he tells him, you know, sitting by a tish and dveikazich in the tish is like by you sitting over Gemara and learning about Smadr. Same feeling, same attitude. And okay, it's a translation. You meet a guy, you can tell him sitting over Gemara learning is like cheering at a football game. Loses something in translation. Not quite exactly. Yes, they're both very positive experiences, but it's not exactly a good translation. In order to translate, you can't translate Torah into guf. It doesn't translate. It can't translate Torah into the world of what he calls nafshius, ambition, greed, so on. It doesn't quite translate itself. Into the world of Seichel, there is a translation. So the only Ummah that requested or demanded a translation was Yavan. So that's why Chazal say that Yefes, Yoifish, Shech to Yavan. Kloima, Mina Yoifish of the Yefes. V'zehu loshin yevani shua yofe b'yoyse yateira ba'olei shem kimut v'yateira ba'olei shem. And those Chazal darshan that you are allowed to translate Torah into Yevonis, the darshan of Pasik, because it says yaf yufusa shal yefes yeh ba'olei shem v'kol zem neisheshtam achoch m'yoyse mishar umis. I want to also explain this Nikud a little bit about Yoifi. We spoke about it once, I think. We spoke about Rochel and Leah, and we'll just mention the Nikuda. When people speak about Yoifi, they tend to speak about it in minimalizing it. In other words, something is only skin deep, beauty is only skin deep, it's only beauty, it's not, it has no substance, and so on and so forth, when you speak about Yavan, which is true, but there's a flip side to it. Yoifi is a very positive quality. For instance, let's say a person speaks a beautiful, he says he's a gorgeous speaker, but he says nothing. So he uses flowery words and beautiful and tremendous stories and nice jokes, and it's a very pleasant experience. But then you say, but he basically said nothing. That's an example of yoifi that is not, that has no substance. You have the opposite. A person has an idea. The idea is emes. It's correct. It's deep, but he can't explain it. It's meaningless to anybody sitting on the outside and listening. So it might be emes, but there is nothing over there that is. He can't bridge the gap between himself that understands it to the person who's listening. then you have a person who understands it and is able to give it over with a certain muscle, with a certain havana, is able to explain it in terms that are meaningful to the people listening. That is yaifi. Yaifi in its kitikunai, yaifi means you're able to translate from the language of panim to the language of chitzin. For instance, a person has a home. What's nice about a home? It's quiet, it's warm, it's comfortable, you can go to sleep, you can eat, and so on and so forth. That's what a home is, and it is no matter how it's painted, no matter how what it's like. The person who can convey the sense of home in by the arrangement of the furniture is endowed with a yoifi. So even for the person who doesn't live there, he gains an immediate sense of the intimacy, of the warmth, of the pleasantness, and so on and so forth. That is yoifi. That is the materials of yoifi. So the materials of yoifi is always a translation. I see somebody who's a good person. He's a big tzaddik. So if he's not yoifi, so he doesn't take away from his tzidkis. But I don't, for an outsider who's clueless about the world of Teichin, he can't see it. I can't explain to him why the short little man is so chashiv. If the person has a hadras panim that conveys it, so it's not the hadras panim that does it, but the hadras panim is the language that translates his Teichin to someone on the outside. So yoifi is the ultimate translation between Teichin to the world outside. And then we spoke about Rachel and Leah. Leah was the Hester, the Alma, the Skafia, and Leah could not translate easily. Somebody seeing Leah could not really get a sense of what Leah was about, except her eyes, because the eyes are always a window into the inside of a person. Rachel was somebody who was Yoifi, Ifas Toya, Ifas Mara. When one saw Rachel, one gained a true perception of the Teichen and so on. So he says, that's why the mokum of Yovan is yoifi. It allows Torah to be translated. The language of Yovan is a language that's suitable. And again, the language of ideas does contain images and paintings and so on that allows it to portray itself. By the way, Maimon Muska, I once heard a very, very beautiful vart, Shem de Briska Rav. It says, Dvash v'cholov tachas l'sheinich. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim that Torah is like honey and milk on your tongue, and Chazal say that im advarim arevim kedvash omram, if the things are pleasant like honey, no divrei Torah that are pleasant, say them. Vim lav tachas l'shoinim kavshim tachas l'shoinim, don't say them. So the Brisker Rav asked, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a vart that's true? So what do I care if it's pleasant or not? It's true. If I'm talking about something that's not true, so even if it's nice, one shouldn't say things that are not true. So the Rav said, certainly we're talking about things that are emes. But to say something publicly, to give over Torah that's emes but not yoifi, it doesn't express itself well to the person. The person doesn't understand it. It's not being well explained. It's lacking in kavodishal Torah. It's very hard to relate to something that seems awkward and umgelumpet and just not put together. So if you're saying something, even if the word is emes, but it's not given over the right way, it's not something that has in itself a certain ring of truth, don't give it over, because Kvod HaShoter demands that it be yoifi as well. Okay, so he says, because the Chochmah says, V'akiru v'zeh atzmoy ha'yegorim she'rotzo la'abed me'em ha'terah. And it's this closeness of the two worlds that was the reason why Yavin wanted to destroy Torah. It's a melitza in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Klum iskanel chachma chachma v'gibor v'gibor. In other words, a person who is very smart is not jealous of somebody who's very strong. A person who's very strong is not jealous of somebody who's very handsome. I mean, unless he's competing in that area, but when two people are both very powerful, they compete for a title. When two people are very smart, they compete for honors. So the other two umos, since what they were was not at all in any way shayach to Kaisel, so there's no real clash here. Since you're talking about two inyanim that are of the same nature, then they clash. Ki malchus shlishis misyachet al chayesh inamer. In the dream of Daniel, it says that the third animal, was a leopard, and we explained last time the number the azus. Sheyesh lo dalot knafayim. It has four wings. Ki achochma hu mis. Why does that four wings? So historically, it's talking about the breakdown of the malchus into different parts. There's Beis Talmai, there's the Salocide house, there's that was the Syrian. That's mitzvah, the history of it. But he says there's a remez for it. Ki achochma mispashet bechol tzadon lo roichev lo oirech ve'ein lo gvul klal. That the chachma is something that's mispashed on all sides and has no gvulas. And let me explain that a minute also, in both ways, in its positive way and its negative way. The first two inyanim are the inyan of guf, that a guf is the first target of the malchus was the malchus of guf, which is paras. That type of inyan has a gvul. Every guf, by definition, is bounded, and its boundaries are very clear. A person, no matter how big, no matter how tall, no matter how strong, he's bounded. His guf is bounded. His stomach is as gvulus, and that's that. So b'meila, the malchus itself had a certain sense of gvul. L'mashal, Achashverosh fought against the whole world, conquered the whole world, but it was limited. At some point, he lost it. He couldn't just go. Didn't go into Shemayim. There was certain gvulus in how far he could spread. One. The second malchus of Nafshius, which is greed and ambition, all these things, also have a gvul. The third one, Seichel and Chochma, has no gvulis. A person, there is nothing that Seichel can and tries to understand everything. Because Seichel is not something physical, and the Mele does not have any real boundaries. Just like, and not only Mitzad, its desire to understand everything, without its ability. A person can sit on the earth and he can deal with galaxies that are far away and make some statements about it. He can weigh planets. He's sitting over here. The person doesn't have gvulas because seichel itself is not really, even though seichel is part of the mind, but it's not a part of the brain, but the mind is bigger. The mind itself does not really have gvulas. So the scope of seichel does not have gvulas. That's why Malchus Yom could spread everywhere. The idea, how is that historically, even though Yavan may not have conquered much, sometimes they did, Alexander did conquer everything, but the Hellenizing effect of it knew no boundaries. Ideas spread without boundaries, and they don't. You can't stop them with a gun, you can't stop them with anything, because Seichel doesn't have natural gvulas. So the mail of Seichel is that it's unbounded and has no gvulas. That's one. There's a flip side to it. The in Seichel of Torah, which he speaks about later, there are gvulos because l'mashal it says a person cannot ask malafonim malaocha malamala malamata. The Gemara in Chagiga says you cannot question what is beyond certain points of existence, dealing especially with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That question is not a valid question. In the Olam HaSeichel, it is a valid question. What do you mean you're telling me I can't ask? It's Seichel. The difference between Seichel and Seichel of Torah is how much does Seichel Adam play? What's the scope of Seichel Adam in the world of Seichel? From the standpoint of Yavan, Seichel is everything. And therefore, it's not possible to say this is a line past which Seichel is ineffective. It doesn't make sense. It's the intrinsic postulate of the Olam HaSeichel that Seichel can go everywhere and understand everything, and it's just a question of time and effort and trial and error. Seichel HaTorah means there is a larger Seichel than my Seichel, and that Seichel includes all the emesses that there are, and includes emes, and my Seichel is struggling to try to comprehend it. The whole musik, and when people make a mistake when they speak about the clash between chachma, philosophy, and Torah, and synthesis, and whatever they want to say about it, I once saw an article by somebody who's struggling between the religion and his job. He's an academician, and he's on the sheet of Torah Mada, and the question was put to him very bluntly: are you a religious academician or an academic elchid? So his answer is, you know, when I'm in the university, I'm an academician. When I'm in shul, I'm religious. But there is a real stira between the two. The world of Chachmas Yavon says Seichel is the largest framework that there exists. Even religion is something that I understand. I sit down and I say to myself, listen, what are the events that happened? What are the explanations? What are man's needs? What proves God? What doesn't prove God? V'chulu. But the bottom line is, the hardware is the Seichel, and one of the software programs is religion. That is the attitude of Chachma Ivanis. That's the outer framework of Havana. The Olam of Torah or Seichel Torah is that the hardware is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah as an expression of his Chachma, and one of the software programs for understanding it is Seichel Adam. And it's a whole different world. The both are trying to understand, but the difference is whether the thing that exists is bigger than the understanding, and the understanding is an ability that part of it should be assimilated into Seichel, or the understanding is the everything, and whatever fits into it exists. Anything else doesn't exist. When the Maral says that Chachma has no gvulis, it's a maila. It's a maila because Chachma is spiritual, and therefore it's not bound by things the way a person's appetite. There's just so much chocolate cake a person can eat without physically bursting, and there's just so much you can eat without getting sick of it. That's a gvul. A person's ambitions and greeds can be bigger than that. A person can drive himself, but he's limited. He's limited to his lifetime. They're just so far that a person's shulton can go. In Seichel, there's no gvul. And in Seichel, I can take the knowledge of everything before me. I can think about everything, everywhere, and nothing can stand in the face of my, withering cross-examination. I can cross-examine everything, test everything, probe everything, criticize everything. That is the Olam of Seichel. The chiluk here is, so the mail of Seichel and any Seichel is that it really doesn't know, it does not know gvulus, and it is kind of international. But it's all over. But there's another nekuda here that Yovan specifically is a chisaron. Yovan is chachma without gvulus. The ein sof of the world is chachma. So that is the entire world is chachma, and I can make different observations about this chachma. And our understanding is that chachma is a tool limited to the tzura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person. I think we once said this over, but I'll say it over again because it's a very, very good word. The Rashi says by Paraduma that Paraduma is called a chayt because Umas Ha'olam Amenin Etz Yisrael, they tease Klal Yisrael, they badge them, they say Ma Tam Yesh Bedava. It doesn't make any sense. Paraduma is senseless. So the answer is Chayku Lefanai Osu Cholahar. It's a chayt. You're not allowed to think about it. If it's a kash, it's not a tech. If you're not allowed to think about it, tells me, first off, there's a mitzvah paraduma and an issue to think about it. If you're coming to answer the question of the guy, then what do you tell me? The guy comes to ask me a really powerful question, like, it doesn't make any sense, it's self-contradictory, it's paradoxical, and I say, well, the answer to that is you're not allowed to think about it. You know, if you want to be from, do it before the guy comes. If not, if you're waiting for the guy to come, then find the answer for it. Like, what? It's not an answer to a question. So Rav Chaim Lovinstein once said, Seichel is a kli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed a person with. A person needs to do Avedis Hashem. He needs hands. He needs for tefillin. He needs yad. He needs a rosh. He needs for every mitzvah. He needs kelim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person the kelim with which to do mitzvah. The kelim for Torah is Seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a whole area of Bria, which is meant to be, the Avodah is meant to be with the mind, that a person understand it, know it, and so on and so forth. Wherever there's a chelik of the world that is ta'un havana, then a person has seichel for it. So, l'moshel, the issa of stealing, like tignoivu, is required that a person understand it. So a person has a piece of seichel that relates to stealing as being intrinsically wrong. A person needs to understand a mahalach of how you learn shlichus. So we have a seichel that understands how to learn shlichus from a pasuk. That chelik of Torah, which wasn't given for Havana, has no seichel to understand it with. Parah Aduma was given as a chayk. The seichel of the Havana Parah Aduma was not given to Adam. So there's no seichel given to us to understand it. So when the guy comes along and says it doesn't make any sense, the answer, it's an answer. Since, and he said in his lesson, he said, wherever a person was given a seichel, it's understandable. Wherever he wasn't given, then a person's mind is like a stick. I'm telling the Akum, since there's no pachelik of Torah of Havana as Parah Aduma, then there's no Havana of it. Okay, then he says, ולכך כפי מידת השכל היא ממשלת מכל העולם, as seichel is, so they ruled over the whole world, והכל היה כפי המידה. And the כפי the מידה of seichel. I remember many years ago in school, one of the questions on the regents was, who identified as people? The conquered people conquered the conquerors. And the answer was supposed to be Greece, that even though they were conquered by Rome and so on, but in the end their ideas conquered the people that had conquered them. In other words, the spacious of Seichel Yivanus, Chacham Yivanus was all over. Ulekach ha-malchus ha-zeis lahim isnagdim li-Yisrael rak mitzad ha-teira sichlis u-mitzad ha-teira leikis. Their isnagdus was be-ikr religious. Vekach ha-yu kol inyan malchus shlishis levatl mi-Yisrael maila teiras ha-leikus v'chol dava leiki. They specifically were coming to revatal this union of Torah Lekus and anything like it. That's like we explained before. Torah Lekus means that the Torah itself, the starting point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Seichel latches onto it. That is what they want to revatal it and say Seichel comes first. And if you decide that Torah is right, so that's one branch of Seichel. Okay, we'll hold it here. The next piece is a longer piece about the eagle and so on. Why kisakayasha? Tomorrow I'm not going to be able to mitzvah. Thursday we'll have the last time. We'll see the next.